blessing it is. I appreciate your pastor. What a great man of God he is. Well, that was 4 or 5 amens. I appreciate your pastor. What a great man of God he is. There you go. That's how we do it. God bless you. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to be here. And as he said, I've known him for several years now. And I always knew that whoever got him would be lucky to get him. And wherever he went, he would do a great job for the Lord. And for years, I prayed and then said, man, Lord, open up a door for him. God, do something special in his life. And him and his wife, I remember one time they were getting the college ready for the alumni banquet. And I was walking through the gymnasium, and you would not believe the things that they made out of cardboard. It really literally looked like you was walking through a winter wonderland, and out of cardboard and just some paint and some different things. I mean, it literally looked like you was walking into a fantasy land. And they did all that with the bare necessities. And I said, if they could do something like that for a banquet, there's no telling what they could do, Lord, when you open up the door and give them a church where they can love on some people and care about some folks. And so I want to say to you, and I know you know it already, but you are blessed and you are very fortunate to have this great family at this great church. Let's all stand together as we read in reverence the Word of God. How many's glad to be in church tonight? Amen. What a blessing it is. I want to give you just some things to think about. Of course, I've got a few fellas with me. I come in, one of the fellas in the parking lot said, I see you got your bodyguards with you. And I said, amen. Amen. I tell you what, these folks have been a blessing to me. Brother Todd's my assistant there in the inner city of Detroit. And we call him Kool-Aid. His name's Chris, but we call him Kool-Aid. He came to church at our tent meeting last night of the tent meeting about a year ago. We've been there about a year now. And matter of fact, our tent meeting just closed, so it's been about a year. And came the last night, man, and was just sold on the old-time way. And man, come the following Sunday, he came to church, and man, he walked off of the porch, and one of my sons, now you pray for my boys, they're PKs, and you know what that means. I mean, they're PKs, you know what that means. That means they got some serious problems, amen, right there. And one of my boys, John, we call him John, his real name's Juan. But I said, matter of fact, Kool-Aid walked off the porch. His name was Chris at that time. He walked off the porch and he said, I'll see everybody next Sunday. And my son was sitting on the railing and he said, see you later, Kool-Aid. I looked over at John and I said, John, that's not a very nice thing to say. You got to understand, Kool-Aid had a big red sweater on. I turned around and I said, John, that's not a very nice thing to say. And Kool-Aid turned around as fast as John said it and as fast as I tried to scold him for it, Kool-Aid turned right around and said, oh, that's no problem, preacher. He said, I like that name. I said, all right, Kool-Aid, we'll see you next Sunday. And from a year, from that day to this, literally everybody knows him as Kool-Aid. So forget all about Chris. He don't even answer to that anymore. But it's good to have them with us tonight, and what a blessing it is. And man, we had a wonderful time fellowshipping on the way up. Take your Bibles to the book of Exodus tonight. Exodus chapter number 17. Exodus chapter number 17. I want to kind of give you a thought, some things to think about, and then we're going to get tacos. Say amen right there. We're going to go get something that resembles something that you can consume. I know that. We're going to go do something like that. But listen, watch this now. We pulled into town. We got here a little bit early. And I remember the last time I was here, there was a prison or a jail or a facility or one of them redevelopment places close by. And because I'm a little bit away from the ghetto, I kind of felt homesick. And so what we did is we drove past the redevelopment center and I felt at home again. And so now I feel ready to preach. Take your Bibles, look at Exodus chapter number 17. I want to begin reading in verse number 8. If you got your King James Bible, please look on with me. The Bible says in verse number 8, it said, then came Amalek and fought with Israel and Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek tomorrow, and I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him. Now I like that 10th verse. I'm not preaching from that verse. But you realize when the man of God says, I need you to do something, it's not time to give 17,000 excuses why you can't or why you got something else that's more pressing on your schedule. But you realize if God really sent this man of God here, and I believe that he did, I believe we ought to obey his leadership and follow him with loyalty and respect. Here they are. He said, this is what I want you to do. He said, I want you to go down and fight with Amalek. And watch this now. Joshua never argued with him one time. He never said, this is some things I've got pressing on my calendar. But rather, Joshua did exactly what Moses told him to do. The Bible says, and he fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hands that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. Verse number 12, but Moses' hands were heavy, and he took a stone, and he put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Now notice what the Bible says. And Joshua discomforted Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we do thank you, God, for this time and opportunity, Lord, to be here. Thank you for these folks that have come. Lord, I'm praying, God, that you'd speak to us. Lord, benefit us tonight from the Word of God. Lord, if there is one here under the sound of the preaching tonight that is not saved, Lord, I pray that you put them under Holy Ghost conviction. Show them their need for salvation. And Lord, save them where they stand. Lord, for those of us that are saved, I pray, God, you'd help us to grasp from things, Lord, that would motivate us, Lord, to Lord, move us in a direction, Lord, that be more profitable not only for ourselves, but Lord, for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ and the furtherance of the gospel. Help us, Lord Jesus Christ, to leave this place challenged and changed. And we'll thank you for all that you're going to do in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. You study out your Bible, geographically speaking, the children of Israel in a place called Rephidim. The Bible says when they got there, there was no water for them to drink. Because of that, they started to chide and to backbite and to bellyache against the man of God. That amazes me every time I read that when they start to do that to Moses. Because listen, Moses was all right when he came down in Egypt's land. Moses was all right when he had a message on his lips of deliverance. Moses was all right when he pulled him up out of 430 years of bondage. He was all right then, but just because they got a little bit thirsty, they started running him down the road. That amazes me. Can I help you with something? Preachers are not perfect. Preachers will make mistakes. They're not always going to do exactly what you think they should do, but watch this now. As long as they're doing what God wants them to do and following the direction and leadership of God and preaching this old black book, man, we ought to file in behind them and say, man of God, listen, come hell or high water, whatever direction you want to go in, man of God, I'm behind you. Say amen right there. So here they are in Rephidim. Rephidim means plain. I mean flat ground. They were in a place of decision. They were geographically between the wilderness of sin and Sinai, the mountain of God. They got thirsty and therefore they started to bellyache and backbite and chide against Moses. And because of that, Moses, man, sought the Lord's counsel. He said, Lord, they're going to kill me. Man, what should I do? He tells him, I want you to go stand on Horeb. He said, meet me over there and stand upon a rock. He said, I want you to smite that rock one time and stand back because water's coming out. He said, the children of Israel shall drink from that rock. You know your Bible, friend, according to the New Testament, that rock in the wilderness that fouled them was a type of the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, friend, the same thing happened to you and I when we got saved. Man, we got a drink of that water. All of a sudden, friend, here came Amalek. You know anything about typology? You know Amalek is a type of the flesh. Man, they always rise up and always fought against the people of God. And the same thing is true in my life and in your life. Before we got saved, we were heading in one direction. It was carnal, it was sensual, and it wasn't for God. But after salvation, friend, we did a 180. God turned us around and headed us in the direction of God. And here's what happened. For the first time in our life, friend, the flesh and the spirit collided. And ever since then, friend, a fight and a war had started taking place. You study your Bible out, Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 17. The Bible says there's a battle going on between the flesh and the spirit. And if you yield to the flesh, you'll never do what the spirit wants you to do. And if you yield to the spirit, you'll never do what the flesh wants you to do. Say amen right there. You show me somebody going in a carnal direction, friend, and I'll show you somebody that hadn't yielded themselves to the Spirit of God in a long, long time. There's a battle, there's a war, there's a fight going on. And that's the same thing that's taking place here. Amalek rises up. Did you notice Amalek didn't rise up until after they started making spiritual decisions? Say amen right there. Man, you hit an altar and you make a decision for God. Your preacher stands up and thunders from the pulpit Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Or listen, the preacher, he's got scheduled and slotted for this Bible conference here. Hey, listen, every single one of them that'll preach, you make a decision and mark it down. That old flesh, if you're not careful, it'll rise up and try to turn you against the very direction that God wants you to go in. Oh, listen to me, friend. That's why you and I, we need to know what it takes, my friend, to war with Amalek. We need to know what it takes to war and to win this war with the flesh. Let me give you some things to think about. I think it'll be a help to you. There are several things here that I want you to look at. You'll study your Bible out. Listen, you know that to Amalek is the descendants of Esau. And because of that, friend, they illustrate opposition of the flesh throughout the entire Bible. You'll study it out, friend. Listen, we find them over in 1 Samuel chapter number 30, verses 1 through 8. Man, David came home to Ziklag, and the Bible said that his family was carried off by the Amalekites. Do you realize what the Bible is telling us in picture and in type? Man, if we're not careful, man, if we're not sold out to God, man, if we're not yielding ourselves to the Spirit of God, if we're not doing what God wants us to do, if we're not falling in line with the Scriptures, one day, friend, if we're not careful, we're going to come home and we're going to find our families carried away by the flesh. It'll steal your family. Let me show you something else. Watch this now. It'll not only steal your family, but it'll rob you of your future. You study your Bible out, 1 Samuel chapter number 15. King Saul was given explicit instructions. He was supposed to utterly destroy all of the Amalekites. You know the story. He came back and he stood before the prophet and he brought King Agag back alive. And because of that, the prophet put his finger in his snout and he said this. He said, because you disobeyed God. He said, God has rejected you from being king. You know what he did, friend? When he disobeyed God, he yielded himself to the flesh instead of the spirit. And because of that, friend, hey, the flesh robbed him of his future. Oh, listen to me, friend. He said, you're no longer going to be king. He said, you've rejected God and God has rejected you from being king. Notice this now. Here's what we need to really focus in on. It'll steal your family. It'll rob you of your future. But watch this now. As a church collectively, if we're not careful, it'll steal away our flock. Are you listening to me now? That's what's taking place right here in Exodus chapter number 17. I mean, man, they're making right choices. They're heading in the right direction, man. Man, they're heading to the mountain of God, man. They're going to get some word from God. And here they are, friend, doing everything right, man, heading in the right direction. And here comes Amalek. You know what he wants to do? Wants to steal that flock away from the man of God. Hello? Hey, if we're not careful, friend, it'll rob us of our family. It'll steal our future. Man, no, not only that, but it'll rob us of our flock. Pretty soon, man, this family will be missing, and that family will be missing, and another family will be missing. And pretty soon, friend, you'll say, man, what happened? You say, well, man, they started going in the wrong direction. And pretty soon, they started tugging on another family and took that family another day. Did you ever notice that, man, when somebody gets backslidden, they're not happy being backslidden alone? They always want to call somebody else. And it's never the spiritual giant. It's never the adult Sunday school teacher. It's never the bus worker that is sold out. It's never the assistant pastor. It's never one of the deacons or the trustees. Man, they always want to find somebody that is weak and maybe not knowledgeable, maybe a novice at best. And they always want to pull on somebody like that. And that's why every single one of us, every single service, we need to be sold out to God and say, you know something? Every time God speaks to me, I want to make a decision that takes me to higher ground so that, man, I'm not vulnerable to the flesh pulling on me. Every single one of us, friend, listen, we got to be careful. Oh, you say, preacher, you don't know me. You don't know who I am. You don't know how spiritual I am. Let me help you with that. The Apostle Paul, church planner, apostle to the Gentiles. Hey, one of the greatest preachers of the New Testament era. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall be able to live from the body of this death? Paul said, I'm walking around in a fallen body. I'm walking around in a dead man's carcass every single day of my life. Man, I fight it. I fight it. He said, the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, he said, man, I end up doing. Understand it now. Every single one of us, if we're not careful, man, we'll fall prey to the flesh. And that's why being in church is so important. That's why this conference that he's putting on, I mean, every single week of the world, man, as he's got it slotted out, it's so important to be here. Because everybody's got something else to say to build us up that we might go to the next level for God. Oh, listen to me now. Hey, listen, I don't know why. I can't understand it. I can't comprehend it. Man, but God allows me. I not only pastor there in the inner city of Detroit, man, but I literally get to preach all across this country. I even get to preach in Mexico, though I don't speak fluent Spanish. Now, that's hilarious. Last time I was there, man, I mean, I'm preaching wide open in English. Wah! And I said, well, you know what? I'm going to throw this interpreter. And so, man, I broke out in some Spanish. That dude never missed a lick, man. I got on the edge of that platform. I was preaching about Moses standing over the Red Sea. And I said, man, I said, Moses took that rod and stood there. And man, by the power of God, parted them waters. Man, then I broke out in Spanish and I thought I was going to throw him. I looked over on the other side of that platform and there was that little Mexican dude. He's standing on the platform like this. And man, just like this, he went from Spanish to English and he's preaching. I tell you one thing right now, one of us had God on us. Say amen right there. What I'm saying is, man, if we're not careful, man, the flesh will rob us of our flock. And what I started to say is, I don't know why, but God, man, he lets me preach all over the place. Man, I'm talking about my summer months are full, man. I mean, I'm here and there and everywhere. Man, I was just in a meeting Monday. Man, I'm here tonight. I'll be back in that meeting, closing it out on Friday night with Dr. Hamlin. And man, I can't understand it, but here's what I'm seeing. Churches are not being careful anymore. Churches are allowing themselves to be pulled and tugged and man snagged and man tripped and man's pretty soon, man, you'll be there Sunday morning and man, you might come back on Sunday night, but Wednesday night is not important anymore. And what I'm telling you to understand is this, man, if you're not careful, the flesh will rob you of your flock. Some of the churches I go in, man, they're packed out on Sunday morning, man. We're shouting it out. Man, everybody's shouting. Everybody's praising God. But watch this now. You go back on a Sunday night, man, it looks like a ghost town. You go back on midweek service, man, it's a ghost town again. You say, what in the name of God's happened? Hey, friend, the flesh has snuck up and the flesh has robbed them churches of their flocks. Man, when I pulled in tonight, man, I drove past, like I said, I wanted to try to, you know, feel at home. So I went past the prison. Say amen right there. Seen some old friends, said, what's up, bro? We'll see you in a few years. Then I turned back around and I said, man, look at that parking lot, man. 15-2, man, that parking lot's filling up. It's a midweek service, man. I said, praise God. Hey, you know what that told me? Hey, this church is doing something right. That man of God, this family is doing something right. The leadership here is doing something right. And man, somebody's not yielding to the flesh. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. Are you listening to me now? If we're not careful, man, Amalek's going to rise up. The flesh is going to rise up. It'll rob us of our families. It'll rob us of our future. And it'll rob us of our flocks. You say, so preacher, what do? You just keep doing what you've been doing. You just keep on doing what you've been doing. Apparently, you just keep on doing what you've been doing. Follow this man of God and his leadership, man, as he stands up and thunders from the word of God. Hey, get behind him, man. Support him. Encourage him. You say, preacher, what do? It's a war with Amalek. How do you win this war against the flesh? Let me give you some things to think about and I'm done. Watch this now. Number one, you just keep on sipping from the springs of holiness. Did you notice Amalek never rose up, as I said, until they took a drink of that water? That's a spiritual decision. You know what you need to keep on doing then? Keep on drinking from the rock. Say amen right there. Just keep on getting a drink of that water. You know what I like about it, friend? Notice, first of all, watch this now. I'm talking about that satisfying sip of salvation. Man, I think about that woman, the woman at the well. She came there at the hottest time of the day because she didn't want to be ridiculed, made fun of by everybody else. And man, when she got there, guess who was waiting on her? Say amen right there. Man, the altogether lovely one was waiting on her there. When nobody else wanted anything to do with her, he said, I must needs go through Samaria. And he was sitting right there when she got there. He asked her for a drink of water. She said, how can you be a Jew? Ask me, a Samaritan, for a drink of water. The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. You know the chapter. She said, besides, you got nothing to draw with. She didn't know who she was talking to. He said, if you knew who I was and the water that I could give, he said, I'd have given you living water. And she said, I like this part right here. She said, give me that water. He said, but you drink of this well, he said, this water. He said, you're going to thirst again. He said, but you drink of the water that I shall give. He said, you're never going to thirst again. You know what he was talking about when he said that? All the physical and sensual cravings that brought her to that place in her life where she had to go at the hottest time of the day to get a drink of water in the first place. He said, man, that kind of water and that kind of lifestyle is what made you thirsty. Man, the flesh will make you thirsty and pretty soon, friend, dehydrate you and kill you. He said, but man, if you get a drink of the water that I should give, watch what he says. Ye shall never thirst again. Oh, listen to me. Listen, if you're here today and you're not saved, man, get a drink. I mean, get a drink of that water. Keep on sipping from the springs of holiness. I'm talking about a satisfying sip of salvation. I like this part right here. Not only a satisfying sip, but how about this one? If you're saved, you need another drink. How about that sanctifying sip of the Scriptures? John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Say amen right there. Hey, that word sanctify means to be set apart. And it just doesn't mean to be set apart, but it means to be set apart onto something. And that something is God. That something is God's work. That something is God's thrust, His ministry. Hey, every single one of us, man, every time we get in that Bible, man, it's not just to get a drink of water and to be reminded and refreshed about the things of God and salvation, how God's changed our life and turned us around. But watch this now, friend. It's to set us apart unto God. Can I help you with something? You're never going to get rid of the tug of the flesh. It'll always be there. There's no eradication of the flesh. This flesh is not saved. Man, we got to wait till that moment. Man, the twinkling eye at the last trump, when this mortal will put on more immortality and this corruptible will put on incorruptible. We got to wait till then. But can I help you with something? If you'll just keep on drinking from that water, you keep on sipping from the springs of holiness, man, the flesh will never be able to deter you and never be able to get you to go in the wrong direction. Let me tell you why. Because of that word of God setting you aside for Him. Let me prove it to you. Let me prove it to you. Jeremiah chapter number 20. And man, Jeremiah was trying to get a nation back to God. And man, you know the story. Man, he was preaching and he did everything God told him to do. But man, they mocked him. They made fun of him. They laughed him and scorned. And so what he said was, he said, I'll not preach anymore in your name. He said, I'll not make mention of you anymore. You know what he said? I've decided to quit. I've decided to quit on God. I'm going to backslide. I'm not going to preach to them. I'm not going to talk about God anymore. Nobody's listening. It's no use. But then he said this. But His word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones. He said, I was weary with forbearing. He said, I could not stay. You know what Jeremiah was saying? He said, I got tired of trying. He said, I got tired of trying to stop serving God. I would try not to go to church, but I ended up going to church. I tried not to preach the Bible, but I ended up preaching the Bible. I said, I'm not going to pass out tracts anymore. But guess what I did? I showed up for visitation and I passed out tracts again. Say amen right there. I'm not going to do my ministry. I'm not going to show up and I'm not going to be faithful. And man, if you got that Bible in you, you got that Word of God in you, and you keep on drinking, friend, I don't care what you decide to do, friend, the flesh will not get the victory. Satisfying sip of salvation, sanctifying sip of the Scriptures. But here's my favorite part. That strung out sip of the Spirit of God. Now listen, I was raised in the ghetto. I was, listen, born and raised in a dope dealer's home. Everything you could do that was wrong, my daddy did it before he got saved. By the way, my daddy was the last one to get saved in our house. 49 years old, got saved, spent the rest of his life, 14 years of his life, before he went home to be with the Lord, sold out to Jesus. Say amen right there. Died on the mission field. Sometimes I tell the story about the kind of lifestyle I grew up in, and I forget to give the conclusion and the very thing that God did in his life, so I want to say that tonight. He died on the mission field. In the year that he died, he was instrumental in starting three churches on the border town of Mexico. And friend, when he was in glory, they were preaching on the other side of the border. But watch this now. Raised in a dope dealer's home. I know what it's like to have folks knock at the door all hours of the night. I know what it's like for folks to give you a car. I know what it's like for folks to sign over the deed to their house and their business because they're strung out on something. But my Bible said, be not drunk with wine. Where's an excess? But be filled with the Spirit. You know what I've yet to see? I've yet to see anybody, Brother Zvotsky, I've yet to see anybody at the doors of the house of God as we pull up early on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. I've yet to see anybody at the door saying, glad you're here, preacher. I just need another verse or two. Hey! I've yet to see somebody say, man, I just need another fix, preacher. I just need, you know what I'm saying? Hello? What I'm saying is we got the satisfying sip of salvation. We might even have got the sanctifying sip of the Scripture. But you know what we need? We need to get strung out on the Spirit of God. The Bible said that house of Stephanas, they were addicted to the ministry. Buddy, I tell you what. Every day of my life, I live in the city. I don't just preach there. I don't just pastor there. I live there. Live there my whole life. I ain't going anywhere. I've seen it all. I witnessed it all growing up. And I see it still today on the streets of Detroit every day. Are you listening to me now? You can see somebody walking down the street and you can say, you know what? He's on a mission. There she goes. She's on a mission. Would to God they could say that about you and I. When you get up for church on Sunday morning, you're not dragging in late. You're not skipping out on Sunday school. Would to God your neighbors would say, there they go again. They're on a mission. There they go again. They're on a mission. Say amen right there. Hey, you know what's going to take the war with Amalek? It's not just a satisfying sip of salvation. It's not just a strung out sip of the Spirit. But man, listen, we got to get high on the Holy Ghost. We got to get plugged in. And man, we got to get after it for God. Can I help you with something? The devil's peddling a counterfeit. Now, I don't know your background, but I do know this. Man, listen, a crowd this big, man, somebody had to have some problems. But watch this now. All counterfeit. Let me see that King James Bible you got right there. Let me show you something right here. Everything the devil's pushing has been stepped on. That's what they say in the ghetto. It's been mixed with rat poison. To stretch it out, you can get more money out of it that way. Man, I've seen some stuff blow your mind. Man, they spray it with hairspray so it'll clump together. They mix rat poisoning, all kinds of stuff. I just heard today. And by the way, this medical marijuana trash, I ain't buying it. I am not buying it. Hey, listen. Hey! Tuck your medical marijuana card in real tight. I won't see it. Say amen right there. I ain't buying it. Hey, listen. You smoke that stuff, you're still a dope head. I don't care if the dope dealer in the white suit with the embroidery on it, I don't care if he wrote you a prescription for it. Say amen right there. What I'm saying is, friend, we need to get high on the Holy Ghost. I just heard today that they take bat droppings and mix it in with this stuff so that it grows faster. Hello. And by the way, the most popular stuff. You're from the country, ain't you? Originally? Most of you folks even probably live in the country somewhere. You ever been down a country road, man, you smell something, you're like, man, somebody hit a skunk. There ain't no skunks in my neighborhood, but that smells everywhere. Are you listening to me now? Here's just like the devil. The devil said, you know what? Sinners are so stupid. They'll run from a skunk when he puts his tails up and he sprays. But sinners are so stupid. I'll grow me some marijuana that smells like that, and they won't be able to get enough of it. Everybody follow me now? What I'm saying is, man, hey, listen. If the devil can get everybody tripping out on that kind of stuff, man, we got something right here. What I say? It's been stepped on. It's been mixed with poison and droppings and everything else. Can I help you with something? 100% pure right there. 100% pure. It ain't never been mixed with nothing. It's unadulterated. Man, it's 100% pure. And by the way, street value, friend, still going for top dollar. Say amen right there. Man, before I came to the service tonight, I did a few lines right there. Say amen right there. You want to get high in the Holy Ghost? Man, go ahead and do a few lines before you come to church. Don't wait for the preacher to blow you up. Don't wait for the preacher to sing a few songs. Don't wait for the choir to kick in. Man, don't wait for any stuff like that. Hey, why don't you get high before you get here? Why don't you read a chapter or two and get full of the Holy Ghost? We haven't fun yet? I'm having a great time. Watch this now. Keep on sipping from the springs of holiness. Number two, watch this. Watch this. Set your standards high. He said, Joshua, I want you to do something for me. He said, I want you to go down and fight with Amalek. He said, me, Aaron, and her, we're going to the top of the hill. You know what he was saying? We're going to let this God-cussing crowd know exactly where we stand. Man, we're not bottom feeders. We're victorious. We're going to the top of the hill, and we're letting everybody know where we stand. You know what's going to keep you in the fight? You know what's going to keep you on top? You know what's going to give you what you need to war with Amalek and win this war against the flesh? You got to set your standard high. Don't drop the ball. Man, don't let somebody, man, talk you into something you know is not right. Young people, listen to me now. Don't let anybody talk you into something you know is not right. Man, you listen to that man of God. You listen to leadership here at the church, and you stay away from that stuff. And by the way, saying no to drugs is still right. Say amen right there. By the way, you never want to try it. You never want to experiment with it. You never even want to even look at it. Stay away from it. It'll wreck your life. You're looking at somebody, I said grew up in a dope dealer's home, but really never got strung out in any of that stuff. You want to know why? Because as they came to the door all hours of the night and left their titles and their deeds to their houses, as a young boy growing up in that home, I said, I will never be like that. Are you listening to me now? Does that mean I didn't experiment? Does that mean I wasn't foolish? That's exactly what it does not mean. Because of all the things that went around about me. And by the way, parents, you better listen to me now. Though my daddy said, listen, you don't do as I do, you do as I say, because of the demons and the devil had been given place in that home, there was a whole lot of things as a lost person that I did try and I regret, and I have memories that scar me to this day. And that's why I say, stay away from it! Don't ever touch it. Don't let anybody ever talk you into messing with it. Let me help you with something. Here's what most folks don't understand about where I'm at in Detroit. If you ever drove through Detroit and you come down Michigan Avenue, you're going to see things you never thought you'd see in your life. I remember a singing group was with us. I took them to a Mexican restaurant because that's all I eat is Mexican food. Say amen right there. We were sitting there and some people walked by. A couple prostitutes walked by and a dope dealer walked by. And one of the ladies from the singing group said, honey, look at that. Those people look so ghetto. It was as if she thought I staged that so she could see actors walk by the window. No, they're not acting. That's them. But here's what I need you to understand. They're not from Detroit. Not a one of them girls that are walking up down Michigan Avenue are from Detroit. Not a one of them girls that are standing on street corners are from Detroit. And I'm saying there's a whole new breed today. They're 16, 17 years old. There's 18-year-old girls out there. Where in the name of God is their parents? But here's what I need you to understand. There was a little girl named Stella years ago. She was from West Bloomfield. Grew up in an Orthodox Jewish home. My wife stopped her. She walked right past my house. I live one block off of Michigan Avenue. Walked right past my house. My wife stopped her, gave her a gospel tract, and she said, listen. She said, I don't know where you're heading or where you're going. She said, but I got a new direction for you. She looked at the tract, and she flipped it around, looked front and back. If you died today, you know for sure you go to heaven. And she said, honey, you don't understand. She said, I'm a Jew, but I appreciate it. I appreciate you giving me this. Years went by. My wife would talk to her every time she'd walk by and try to win her to Jesus. Never could get her to Christ. She said, you don't understand. I grew up in an Orthodox Jewish home. I know about God, she said, but I've made some wrong choices. And one day she got to talking to her. Are you listening? You ready for this? And she said, okay, if you're not going to listen to me, she said, I won't listen to you. She said, tell me how you went from West Bloomfield to Detroit. And tears welled up in her eyes, and she started crying, and she said, started out with one pill at one party. She said, I had a boyfriend, and he said, if you love me, you'll try this. And she said, I took that one pill, and pretty soon he got me to take another pill, and pretty soon he got me taking more pills. And she said, it went from pills to cocaine, from cocaine to crack, from crack to heroin, from heroin to crystal meth. And she said, and that's why I'm out here. I'm a junkie. You say, whatever happened to her? She never got saved. They found her behind a dumpster, behind one of the Coney Islands, cut up and mutilated. Because the devil and the flesh got her to try one little pill. One little pill ain't going to hurt you. That's what the devil says. Just try it. Just try it. Hey, don't ever try it. Don't you ever touch it. Stay away from it. Tell somebody about it. Run as fast as you possibly can. Hey, if you want to get high, you can get high right here. Amen. And by the way, you never got to come down. You'll always remember what happened the day before, and you'll never regret anything you've ever done. Say amen right there. You'll never wake up at the porcelain throne wondering how in the name of God you got there. You'll never make foolish choices that you'll regret in the middle of the night. You'll never wake up someplace and say, how in the name of God did I get here? Man, you'll always wake up in your own bed. You'll always make right choices, and you'll never regret it. Keep on sipping from the springs of holiness. Sets your standards high. Your preacher's covered standards here, no doubt. I'm going to tell you something right now. Man, I preach in some churches. I look around this crowd tonight and I say amen to it. But I preach in some places, man, you don't know whether you're a church or a nudist colony. And I got one thing to say to that crowd. Hey, we didn't come to see you, honey. We came to see him. Say amen right there. Set your standards high. Make sure everybody knows where you stand. And don't back up for nobody. Don't sell out for anybody. Don't change what you're doing for anybody. Now watch this now. Not everybody's always going to support you. Not everybody's always going to be behind you. Many times you're going to be attacked for your standards. Doesn't change the fact they're always going to be right. I mean, our dress standards ought to be the highest. Hey, dealing with dress code, dealing with courtship, they ought to be the highest. Say amen right there. I mean, daily communication, it ought to be the highest. Hey, my Bible says evil communication corrupt good manners. Man, we ought to have the highest standards when it comes to folks that we fellowship, hang around with. That's why Jesus said, wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Hey, he said, man, stay away from it. Set your standards high. Man, go to the top of the hill. You know why some Christians get in trouble? It's been a long time since they went to the top of the hill and man held up by the power of God, the authority of God. I'm talking about His Word, and let everybody know where we stand. Number three, watch this now. Keep on sipping from the springs of holiness. Set your standards high. Here's my favorite part too. Stay your shepherd's hands. You know, the Bible says when Moses held up his hands that Israel prevailed. When he let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. Whenever he put them back up, Israel would win the battle. I mean, they'd be winning the battle on the battlefield. Whenever his hands began to be heavy and they went down, man, Israel started to lose and Amalek started to prevail. The flesh started to overtake the battle. Hey, you want to have what it takes to war with Amalek? You want to be able to win this war against the flesh? Get behind that man of God. Get on one side of him. Get on the other side of him. Hold up the hands of the man of God. Don't let him ever become discouraged. Don't let him ever become tired. Hey, listen, don't ever let it become at this church where you know something, he's carrying more than what he's supposed to be carrying. Say amen right there. Hey, can I help you with something? It only benefits you. It only benefits your church. It only benefits your family. You say, how can you prove that? Look at the chapter. The Bible says, when he held up his hands, Amalek prevailed. When he let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. Israel's a type of the people of God. And so if you want to be prevailing Christians in the house of God, then you need to get behind your man of God. You say, why? For your loved one's sake. Every time his hands laid down, hey, watch this now. Every time his hand were let down, the Bible says people literally started dying on the battlefield. The flesh started to take over in their lives. And man, people started getting hurt and there were casualties. When his hands were up, there was victory in every single home represented in that battlefield. Hello? Say, why should I hold up his hands? For your loved one's sake. How about this one? For your little one's sake. The Bible says that Aaron and Hur was on the top of the hill, one on the one side, the other on the other side. It never really says who's on the right side or who's on the left side, because God knows us being Baptists, we'd argue about, I want the right side, I want the left side, I want the right side, I want the left side. But the Bible said Aaron was on one side and the other was on the other side, Hur was on the other side. You study it out, friend, when they dedicated the temple, Hur's grandchildren were there. And I can't prove this, but I'm preaching right now. But I believe when they dedicated that temple, one of Hur's grandchildren said, can I say something? The only reason I'm here, because one day granddaddy went to the top of the hill with the man of God, stood by his side, and held up his hands. And as you know, Aaron's children, they carried on the priesthood. And if Aaron's grandchildren got to testify there in the temple that day, I can imagine they said, you know what? The only reason I'm in the ministry, the only reason I'm preaching, the only reason I'm ministering before the Lord, the only reason I'm doing what I'm doing is because granddaddy Aaron was on the top of the hill one day and he's holding up the hands of the man of God. Say amen right there. You want to know why you ought to hold up the hands of the man of God? Not just your loved one's sake, your little one's sake. Let me prove it to you. Remember when Elisha was going up to Bethel? Everybody follow me? And them little brats came out of the bushes and said, go on up, bald head! You bald-headed old goat, go on up there! You know what they were literally doing? They were making fun of the rapture because you know Elijah went up in a whirlwind. And they said, man, if you got the power of God, why don't you go up? Go on up, big boy. You bald-headed old goat, go on up. Where do you think they learn how to talk like that? Where do you think they learn how to chew up the man of God and spit him out like that? Hello? You're going to do one or two things, friend. You're going to teach your young ones, your little ones, how to exalt the man of God, how to look at him with respect, how to man look at him and say, you know something, that's my preacher, that's my man of God. He's the one man that's guiding us to God. He's the one that's leading us to victory. Hey, how are you going to teach them to do that? Don't ever say anything negative about him. I can imagine, man, Elisha, he got through preaching one day and mom and dad went by and shook his hand and said, man of God, that's a great message. And she said, oh, so it touched my heart. They got in their chariot and Junior and Sissy was in the back seat. And old Papa said, you know what? He thinks he knows everything. Yeah, he going to tell me how to live. Nobody tell me how to live my life. Bald-headed old goat. All the while, little Junior and Sissy's in the back seat listening to all that garbage. Hello. Hey, watch this now. Whenever a young kid in my church or any place disrespects me like that, it ain't his fault. It ain't her fault. I walked in churches, a little kid come up to me and say, I said, really? Go on, honey. Where's your mom and dad? Say amen right there. You know I'm telling you, right? Hey, they only doing what they seen. They're only responding on what they heard. Watch this now. Said, why should I hold up the hands of the man of God? Why should I, man, get behind Pastor Zavowski? Why should I get behind his leadership? Hey, your loved one's sake, your little one's sake, but most of all, the Lord's sake. Well, I tell you what, Moses and God ever got together, you wouldn't find a Jew at the FBI. You remember what the Lord told Moses? Get out of the way, Moses. I'm going to kill every one of them. Rebellious, hard-hearted, stiff-necked bunch of rebels. What did Moses say? Oh, no, Lord, you brought them out for your namesake. What will they say, the inhabitants of the land? They'll say, you brought them out, but you couldn't bring them in. Lord, you can't do that! You brought them out for your namesake. Man, if they'd ever got together, I'm telling you, you wouldn't be able to find one of them today. Because in one chapter, God's saying, stand back, Moses, and we'll kill every one of them. In the other chapter, Moses is saying, kill him! I guarantee you that was on a Monday. I guarantee you. But what he said was, Lord, you brought them out for your name's sake. What will they think of you? Moses didn't care what they thought about him. He said, Lord, what are they going to think about you? What are they going to think about you? You know how we ought to keep on war with Amalek? You know how we ought to win this war with the flesh? Hey, not only our loved one's sake and stand behind that man of God and hold his hands up, not only our little one's sake, but for the Lord's sake. Hey, listen, if God saved you, why don't you show everybody around you that you're saved? Why don't you show everybody around you you're saved? Get behind this man of God. Hey, man, and go forward, I mean farther and faster than you've ever gone before as Loomis Park Baptist Church, and get behind him and hold up the hands of the man of God and do something that you've never done before in your life. Last of all, watch this now. Look at the Bible. Some pretty good notes in this Bible. It's not even mine. Take your Bibles. Look at it now. Not only keep on sipping from the springs of holiness, set your standards high, stay your shepherd's hands, but notice this, and here's my last one. Swing the sword you hold. The Bible said, and Joshua discomfited Amalek with the edge of the sword. Say amen right there. Hey, listen, you know what makes this flesh uncomfortable? That Bible. Old-time Bible preaching. Hey, listen, don't ever get mad at the man of God when he stands up and thunders and preaches against sin, preaches against adultery and fornication, preaches against lascivious living. Hey, don't ever get mad when he gives the liquor crowd to run for their money. Don't ever get mad when he stands up and preaches against that medical marijuana trash. Don't ever get mad at the man of God when he just stands up and catalogs sin. Man, you ought to stand up and say, man of God, preach that Bible. Man of God, preach the Word of God. Hey, my kids need to hear it. My family needs to hear it. But you know what? Sometimes we get to the place in our life where we say, you know what? I don't need preaching like that no more. Can I help you with that? We always need preaching like that. It's preaching like that that brought revival in the dark ages. It's preaching like that, friend, that built great churches in days gone by. And it's preaching like that that'll still build a church. I had somebody tell me one day, you'll never build a church in the city of Detroit with preaching like that. I said, man, it's not my preaching that's causing me not to have the biggest church in Detroit. It's, man, when their lives get cleaned up and they get off the drugs and they put down the liquor bottle and they start getting raises at work and, man, they start getting promotions and they get enough money, they move out. That's why I'll never have the biggest church in Detroit. I was preaching in Farmington Hills, Pastor Darren Lee's church, Monday night. I looked out at that crowd. I had three families sitting there from my church. Am I mad about that? Absolutely. No, I'm just kidding. No. Am I mad because God blesses and benefits somebody? Am I mad because somebody goes to the next level financially? Am I mad because God blessed somebody and they moved out of that burnt up looking house, man, with the windows all boarded up? Am I mad because they got a promotion at work and they're able to provide a better living for their family? Am I mad about that? No. Hey, friend, they're living in a better place. Their kids go to better schools. Man, they're still going to a great church and I still get to preach the devil out of them. Say amen right there. And what I'm saying is, friend, hey, it still gets the job done. But I did lean over to that preacher on the platform and said, when are you taking me on for mission support? I said, because I know how much that dude makes. Say amen right there. You know one of them, Brother Zavotsky. You went to Bible college with him. Owns his own business. I know much he pulls down, and he was a faithful tither. The other one's a big shot at some big commercial roofing company, man, and he's got big dollars coming in. And buddy, when they walked out, the offerings went from here to here. Are you listening to me now? The other fella, retired, sold out, did things for God, he's there too. Am I mad about that? Why would I be mad that Bible preaching took somebody from the guttermost and took them to the uttermost? Huh? You'll never build a big church. Hey, listen, I ain't trying to build a church. Jesus said, I'll build the church. Say amen right there. But I know one thing. When folks look at me and they say, you know what, he don't pastor the biggest church in Detroit. Matter of fact, he don't even pastor the biggest church in Michigan. Why does he get to preach everywhere? Why is he sort of proven he get to preach in Sword of Lord conferences? Why is he preaching some of the biggest meetings all across this country? Why? Because I did what God told me to do when he told me to do it.
Amen.
And God will do the same thing for each and every one of us.
Yeah.
But you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to swing the sword we hold. God's given every one of us a sword.
Yeah.
Everyone a place to swing it. And we've got to keep on swinging it for the glory of God. Now let me show you something. I'm done. Watch this now. Jesus, Matthew 4, Luke 4. Battling the wilderness. 40 days and 40 nights of temptation. All hell broke loose on planet Earth. And Jesus stood toe to toe with the devil. We know it. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Right? Everything the devil had to offer, he threw it at the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Every time Jesus was tempted in all points, he ran to the Word of God. Are you following me? You realize this? Jesus did not resist temptation as God. He didn't. Because if he had resisted as God, he would have destroyed him right then. Remember in Mark chapter number 5, Brother Zavatsky, when the fellow that had legion, the maniac Gadara, he confronted him and he said, what's thy name? And he said, my name is Legion, for we're many. And by the way, there was about 2,000 devils in that dude. He said, torment me not. You know what he realized? He said, he's God. And if he judges me as God, he can torment me now. That ain't what Jesus did in the wilderness temptation. He didn't take the devil and cast him in a lake of fire. Because that wouldn't do me or you any good. Because we're not God. So follow me now. He did not resist temptation as God. He resisted temptation as a man. Filled with the Spirit of God. Utilizing the Word of God. And that's why I know you and I can be victorious. And we can win this war with the flesh. And we can come out on top. If we'll just keep on swinging the sword we hold. Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for tonight. Thank you, God, for the opportunity, Lord, to be here. Thank you for these folks that have come. Thank you for Brother Rich, Pastor Zavatsky, Lord, the great job he's doing here. Lord, his great family, and Lord, this great church. Thank you for, Lord, just this short time that I've been able to try to be a help. Lord, take this feeble message and use it for the glory of God. And Father, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.